Welcome to Lectionary at Lunch from Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. The lesson for today is the lesson appointed for the fourth Sunday of Easter, and the Gospel lesson is from St. John's Gospel, the first 10 verses. The other lessons for today are from Acts 2, 42 to 47, and 1 Peter 2, 19 to 25. Several lectionaries surrounding Easter are taken from the Gospel of John. Regardless of what series the lessons might be, Gospel of John has taken a significant place in the Gospel lessons following Easter. John 10 comes in as kind of a surprise. I checked the lectionaries somewhat carefully, and John 10 is a rare entrance into that series, John 10, 1 through 10, the lesson that is understood as the Good Shepherd lesson. However, the text, especially verses 1 through 10, the first seven verses talk about a different context, and the most famous text on I'm the Good Shepherd and the Good Shepherd lays down his life for others is actually coming at the close of the lesson. In fact, it follows. That's actually verse 11. Until then, St. John is setting up the context for this this big theme. Shepherd, by the way, is a fundamental image throughout the Old Testament leading into the New Testament in Scripture for Christians. Yahweh is the shepherd. Ezekiel talks about shepherd and the false shepherds and so on. The leaders of Israel are also known as shepherds, and King David, of course, has been a shepherd, and that imagery has gone into the thinking of the church. Here, Jesus is projected as the Good Shepherd, and he begins with setting the stage for the Good Shepherd story to unfold for the people. And that's the broader context of the Gospel lesson for today. In Psalm 23, Yahweh is the Good Shepherd. God himself is the Shepherd of Israel, and the people are the sheep, and we are the sheep of his pasture, so sang the psalmist. Psalm 74, verse 1 talks about that. And for the New Testament church, Jesus is the chief shepherd, and we pastors are his under-shepherds. So that's a significant theme for the Christian church and the people of God. And today, the lesson talks about the sheep and the sheep pen and the shepherd who leads them, etc. To begin with, we go to chapter 10 of St. John and verse 1. Amen, amen, lego humin, ha me esar kamenos dia tes turas es ten alen, tan prabaton ala anabainon. Allah kothen ekenos kleptes esten kai lestes. Esar kamenos, present participle, ha esar kamenos, the word, no, I gotta go back. Okay. Amen, amen, lego humin. Because of the double amen beginning chapter 10, most people think that this is actually a continuation of chapter 9. Chapter 10, verse 1 is actually a continuation of verse 41 of chapter 9 and so on. Recall the story in chapter 9 of St. John, where Jesus heals the blind man. There is the opposition rising from within the crowd. The Jewish scholars, the authorities come and question him and question the blind man and his family and so on. And there's a lot of hubbub taking place, and then we know that he is the blind man is healed, and Jesus responds to the Pharisees, the leaders of Jewish religion of the time. And in verse 41 of chapter 9, Jesus says to the authorities there, If you were blind, you would have no sin. Because you say, we see, your sin remains. Ha, he hamatia human menai. That's how chapter 9 ends. So this is a strong retort to the Pharisaic legalism of the time who were challenging Jesus having healed this blind man. So Jesus comes back and strongly tells them, those who were critiquing Jesus' activity and also suspecting if the blind man was really blind at Sarai, saying that you have sinned because you continue to be blind. You are blind because of your sin. That's how chapter 9 ends. And in chapter 10, starts with Amen, Amen, Lego Humin, and because of the double Amen, which is very rare in the, actually absent in John's writings, that need not mean the new paragraph begins. It's a continuation of the events that took place already in chapter 9. Ha me esar kamenes dia tes turas, the one not entering through the door, eis den aulen, into the sheep pen, ton probaton of the sheep. It is understood that in the Palestinian culture, this the sheep one was pretty much an enclave surrounding the home, or even more than one home. So sheep were brought into this place and kept there in this enclave, just by the home. So who does not enter through the door? So there would be obviously a gate for the sheep and the shepherd to enter into the place. The one who the proper way to enter the sheep pen would be the door. Allah, on the other hand, anabinon coming in or entering Allah koten through another way. Allah koten is an adverb, jumping the fence, if you will, because they are not coming through the door, but jumping the fence in another way, by another means, somehow intruding into the place, a kind of demonstrative. He it is, kleptes esten kai lestes. Kleptes is thief, he is a thief and a robber. One place where we see the thief used is with reference to Judas, and Lestes is one of those robbers hanging on a cross. So in this case, a thief and a robber who does not belong into the sheep pen, or who has nothing to do with, no business with the sheep at all, an intruder. That's the point of verse 1. Verse 2, Hade Acer Commonus Dia Testuras, the one person participle entering through the door, Poimen Estinton Probaton, he is the one shepherd of the sheep, the one who enters through the door. And in verse 7 and 8, the Tura, the door imagery, will be brought in, to which we shall get to soon. The one entering through the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The proper entrance to the aule, the sheep pen, is the door, and the shepherd enters through the door of the sheep. To this one, verse 3, tuto demonstrative dative, to this particular person, that is to the shepherd, hathuraros, the doorkeeper, anoige, opens the door, kai ta probata tes phones autu akuai, and the sheep listen or hear his voice, akuo, the sheep listen to his voice, kai ta idea, that is used adjectively, and his own sheep, he calls for, nay, he calls his own sheep, kat onama, by name, kai ex age auto, auta, and he leads them, So, ta idea is actually, kat idea is privately, this ta idea is private possession, property. So, it's the possession, the sheep are the possession of the shepherd, and he calls them kat onama, by name. The sheep, the shepherd knows the sheep by name. And if you are a shepherd, if you are in a shepherd context, then you understand that, like, pets have names and sheep would have names given to each of the sheep he owns and cares for. So he calls them by name and he leads them out. The shepherd imagery is here. So sheep are brought, led out of the sheep pen into the pasture and then brought back to the pen. And each individual is known to the shepherd. Verse 4. Hatata idia panta egbale. Egbalo, when there's an subjective there, when he has led all his own, ta idia, the phrase that is repeated from verse 3, when he has led all his out, all, ta panta, all of the sheep out, emprosthen auton, before them he poruetai, he travels ahead of them, before them. Locative ahead of them. So the shepherd leads the sheep and therefore the sheep follow. Kaita probata auto akolute. The sheep follow the shepherd. So shepherd is the leader. Hati oidasin ta ten phone autu. Because they know, the sheep know his voice, phonein, they recognize his voice. The imagery is strong here, the sheep and shepherd relationship. The voice of the shepherd is recognized by the sheep. Important there because later on Jesus will talk about the other shepherds, etc. And his sheep hear his voice and discern it and follow his voice. Verse 5. Alotio de u me akolute sosen. Other alotio, this is a stranger. Akolute takes derivative case. Alotio, a stranger. U me, definitely not. They will follow. They will definitely not, surely not follow a stranger. But on the other hand, fuxontai, up auto. On the other hand, they flee from him because uk oidasin ton alotrion ten phonein. Key word here is phonein again. They do not oidasin acknowledge, they are not acquainted with, they do not understand, they do not perceive the voice of the stranger, so they flee from him. This is the ideal situation. The context is set following from chapter 9 into this discourse. The context is set where Jesus talks about the false shepherds, those who are leading people astray from God, etc. So the sheep who know the voice of the good shepherd, the true shepherd, will not be carried away by the voice or the sound of the stranger. And this is a story. People continue to debate if this is a parable or not. It's not a parable, as we see in verse 6, tauten ten paroimion. Paroimia is understood to be a figure of speech, some kind of a symbolic discourse to lead the listener to the story that is yet to be told. And here, Jesus uses this figure of speech. St. John's Gospel does not have parables, as scholars understand it. This is a figure of speech he uses. Jesus said to them, this figure of speech, and they, ekaino, they, on the other hand, uk egnosin, they did not perceive, the listeners did not perceive what hen ha elale auto is, what it was that he was telling them. So it still continues to be a mystery for the listeners. But it is said in the context where Jesus heals the blind person, there is antagonism being developed there. There is obviously reason for this because what is happening in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ? He came to his own, John said in John 1:14. His own received him not, and there were difficulty for the folks to acknowledge Jesus as the Messiah who was coming, and who was seeking after the lost sheep of Israel. So he could, at this time, could be understood as one of those quote-unquote messianic pretenders of the time. Not the listeners, not all of them giving validity to what Jesus has been saying and demonstrating through his actions. So now Jesus, the next phase after the figure of speech has been presented before them, he comes to the point as such. In verse 7, Apen, when Paulin ha Jesus, again Jesus said to them, therefore, as if reflecting on the story that was already, the figure of speech that was already given them, the discourse that was already given them, he just begins to unfold the meaning of the figure of speech that he just completed there. Jesus said to them, again, truly, truly, I say to you, hati ego emi he thura ton probaton. So this is the singled out explanation of what he has been saying. In verses 1 and 2, Jesus talked about the one who enters through the door and the one who jumps the fence and tries to, on his own, enter into the sheep pen. And Jesus comes here clearly and says, ego eimi he thura ton probaton, the shepherd, the real, the true shepherd, the true one, is the one who has the right to enter the sheep pen through the proper door. I am the door of the sheep, verse 7. And verse 8 is a contrast to verse 7. Pantes hosa elpon pro emu, those who came prior to me, kleptoi eisin kai lestai, a repeat of the two words that we first saw in early on discourse here, in this figure of speech, the symbolic discourse that was just given prior to this. This is a contrast. Those who came prior to me were thieves and robbers. References obviously to the people who have been leading the people of God, obviously many times misleading them. But ala uk ekusan autonta probata. But the sheep did not, akuo is to listen, ekusan is ears, but the sheep did not listen to them. And now in verse 9, Jesus says, ego eimi he thura, one more time he repeats that story. Unlike the kleptai and the lestai who came prior to him, he is the door. Dia emu eian tis e selte, should anyone enter through me, Jesus the door, so te setai kai eselusetai kai exelusetai kai nomen euresai. He shall enter, if anyone enters through me, he is saved and he will enter and he will exit and find pasture. That's the unfolding of the life of those who follow the true shepherd, the one who enters through the real door. And if anyone enters through me, he will be saved and he will enter and he will enter in and come out and shall find pasture. That's the promise that is given there. And in verse 10, klepte, on the other hand, kleptes, the thief, on the other hand, comes, does not come, u erkatai, does not come, eime, except in order that he may kill, he may steal and kill and destroy. The intention of the thief who jumps the fence and enters the sheep pen through other means is to kill and to destroy and to steal. So the contrast between the good shepherd and those who have come before him, or the messianic pretenders who may be coming after them, is very clearly defined in verse 10. here and part B of verse 10 is the most famous from this text, which is even when we read verse 1, we would like to get to that so quickly. Ego elton hina zoe ekosin kai perison ekosin. I am come. I came. That's earnest. I came in order that they may have life. And life in abundance, periso is to abound, and more than usual, in its abundance, that they might have life and have it in its full or in abundance. This is the purpose of Jesus' coming. Strong statement here. And then in verse 11, which is actually not part of the reading for today, is that statement. Ego eimi ho poimen ho kalos. I am the good shepherd, the good one. The good shepherd, ha poimen, ha kalos, tepsuken autu titesen. The good shepherd lays down, his life, hyperton probaton. That's the demonstration of the good shepherd and his connection with his sheep. Therefore, beginning from verse reading the pericope in the light of verse 11, the gospel story unfolds clearly in the life of Jesus for the sake of God's people. A strong statement here. The demonstration that Jesus is the good shepherd, is in that the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The entire soteriology is completely explicated, demonstrated in Jesus laying down his life for the others. Several comments here to take this lesson as a composite. The sheep listen to the shepherd's voice, and there are always intruders into the sheep pen who may be pretending to be saviors or messiahs or leaders of the church. But one, how do we know the savior, the shepherd of the sheep? It is by looking at verse 10 and 11, the one who lays down his life for the sheep so that the sheep will have life in him and through him. So from the door imagery, Jesus now speaks about him as the shepherd, and from that, in the context of the Gospels, beginning with, and from that image, in the context of the, excuse me, for the break, from the door imagery, Jesus now presents himself as the shepherd of the sheep, and this shepherd is the one who lays down his life for the sheep, and thereby, by his sacrificial death, opens the door of heaven to those who believe in him. The Psalms talk about Yahweh being the good shepherd. In John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And when we put the John 14:6 text in perspective and compare that with the door imagery in John 10, you see the broader picture of God's intervention in the lives of human beings through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the door, now he is the way in John 14:6, and in John 10 again, he is the good shepherd. So life of a believer is a life following the shepherd, Jesus Christ, who then becomes the door for humans to enter into the heavenly presence. This is an opening for the people, not only the chosen people of God, the Jewish people, but also for the people all over the world to have access to the one God. Isaiah chapter 56, verse 8 talks about the Messiah gathering the Gentiles, the Goyim, and the sheep pen is the whole people of God, and through Jesus Christ there is now entrance for non-Jewish people, people from all over the world, to enter God's pen. So the mission of the church, therefore, the life of the church, therefore, transcend the Jewish boundaries. It is now open through Jesus Christ, the door, the gate, and now the shepherd for people all over the world. And soon, and as in John's gospel will continue to speak, soon there will be one shepherd and one sheep. The same text, as we follow this along, says that he has other sheep also, and him too God will be bringing into his sheep pen. For example, in verse 17 of chapter 10, Jesus says, "Because of this, the Father loves me, that I lay down my life." In order that I may take it again. So Jesus lays down his life for his sheep. John 10:17 brings that point across one more time. He lays down his life for the sheep. And he lays down his life so that he may take it again. That means, as we know, he dies on the cross, then he rises again on the third day. So there is life to be lived post-mortem, and Jesus demonstrates that. In him was life. John began his gospel lesson by narrating that statement. In Jesus was the life, and now he came to lay down his life for the sheep. And verse 17 here says he lays down his life with full intentionality, not an accident, fully aware of what is going to happen. He lays down his life for others, and now he will take it again. Resurrection has already taken place, and this is the fourth Sunday. We celebrate life in him, the life of the good shepherd who laid down his life for others, and coming out victorious from the grave, he demonstrates his authority and power over all people, and his love and care and concern for all people. After all, he came to die for others, so that in him all those who trust in him will have life forever. This new life in him is demonstrated in the church, as we read in Acts 2, the first lesson for the fourth Sunday of Easter, where the congregation, the believers in Jesus Christ, gather together as a community, share everything in common. The provisions God has for his people is experienced in the community that gathered after Jesus rose from the dead and after they became witnesses to it. The nourishment, the life by the green pastures, the provisions God has for his people is demonstrated there. And in the first Peter text, in chapter 2, the way is shown for the sheep to follow the good shepherd who laid down his life for others. And there the context is the sufferings that the believers in Jesus Christ had to go through, and we continue to have to endure as we follow in his footsteps. And Peter there says, if we suffer for doing good in Christ's name, consider this as something that is pleasing to God. This is actually, by the text, the word charis is used there. This is a gracious thing. Suffering as a Christian is a gracious thing in the sight of God. And the shepherd who laid down his life for all people, Jews and Gentiles from all over the world, has set for us a pattern. No greater love than there is for someone to lay down his life for others. And that's what this good shepherd demonstrated for all people. And he is calling the people all over the world to follow him in his steps. And his steps lead us through the proper gate into God's presence, and there He nourishes us and sustains us in faith. The salvation that God accomplished in Jesus Christ by sending Him as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world is now for all people, and the gates of heaven are now open. The door is wide open. Here is someone who becomes a sacrifice, who sacrifices himself on the altar, and who also serves as a door to enter that holy place. A unique message God has given to the church so that through Jesus Christ, the world may know Him and come to His presence and acknowledge Him as their shepherd, the shepherd always who leads His people in faith to the green pastures. As the Easter season energizes us to grow in the faith, it also empowers us to move on into the world to bring people to God's green pastures. God bless our ministry and our life together. In Jesus' name.